fall down, you farmers. Cry out, vine dressers, because of the wheat and the barley, for the country's harvest has been taken away. Joel chapter 1, verse 11. The version of Yours Truly from 2003, and that's our daily scripture for today, little children. So, returning to our study of the Ark of Urartu, we are at chapter 9, paragraph 6 of the article called The Ark of Urartu, The Orient Express, the article written in 2011 by Yours Truly. It is well known, according to the book by Mr. Russell, that the ancient he calls them chronographers. Yeah, let me show you that. The book by Mr. Russell. Okay. Right here. If we look at this book, it is well known, he says, that the ancient chronographers were nearly unanimous in their opinion that the son of Tyre and the successor of Belus at Nineveh were contemporaries. You know, that's where the confusion came in, you see, because Belus is also the name given to the very first Nimrod. And it's the name given to the king who ruled during the dynasty of Akkad, who was Sargon the Great. So the problem we have there is there's this duality that confused everybody, a conflation of those two people. And that's why the Jewish rabbis, I surmise, created the chronology with this wrong idea that Abraham was living during the time of the Tower of Babel. The ancient chronographers were nearly unanimous that Abraham became a contemporary of the son of Belus, but it says it was the name Ninus that was associated with the son of Belus, and so we know that therefore Ninus, who was the first king of the Assyrian Empire, the old Assyrian Empire, beginning in 2141, remarkably in complete agreement with what Africanus said. I just can't believe the agreement that we found in our chronology with anybody. We shouldn't be able to get agreement with anyone. But when I look at, it's just phenomenal. But here, I've got to try and find it here. Right, Ninus, the son of Belus, he says, page 261. Let me bring it down so we can see it. This is Chronological Antiquities by John Jackson, volume 1, 1752. Make it a bit wider so we can see all that, maybe. Is that going to work? Yeah, possibly. If I search the number 2141, I'll probably find it. See, almost all historians agree, he says, Ninus was the first king of Assyria, on page 259. Okay. And I was reading here, and I know he mentions this number of Africanus. Just to save time, though, I better search, because I know it's... What happened? What's wrong? My keyboard wasn't working. Couldn't believe it. There it is. Okay. Now it worked, but I don't understand why it didn't work before. So, yeah, right here. Hide the sidebar, first of all. See, he says on page, what page is it? 238. I've been reading this today because I had a problem with my operating system, and I had to reinstall, or I upgraded my operating system. And now I have a problem where there's no sound tab in my system settings right now. So this is still hopefully going to work, but in the year, Africanus, on the contrary, calls Belus the first king of Assyria and says he died in the 28th year of Tira, which was in the year before Christ, or BCE, 2141. Exactly the same date, which would be, as he says here, Africanus adds that the kingdom descended to his son Ninus. So therefore, year one of Ninus is 2141 right there, which is in perfect agreement with our chronology, which is what we've said is the year one of Gudea, which is also exactly the 10th year of Abraham's arrival in Canaan at the age of 55. So this is his 65th year, 65 years after 2206, which was the birth date of Abraham. Add 2141 plus 65. I think you get 2206, right? So it's right. But the thing is, from the book of Jasher, it says, in the book of Jasher, it was in the fifth year of Abraham's dwelling in the land that the revolt occurred, right? But then it was in the tenth year that there was war. And in the tenth year, that's the first year, we could say, of Ninus, officially, when he defeated Nimrod in that battle. But the fifth year is very important, because I just did this, made a major discovery today, 2281, the year we discussed yesterday. When we take 2146, which is the fifth year of Abram's dwelling, when he's now from the age of, his first year was when he was 55 years old, his third year was when he was 58 years old, his fifth year is when he's 60 years old, which is exactly in the year 2146, 60 years after 2206. So 2146, this is so simple and perfect, because, but 2146 plus 56 plus 15 plus 9 plus 55. I need to show you that as well. It's unfortunate that it requires a lot of different sources to get it. There it is, I think. Sumerian King, yeah, Sumerian King List. On the Sumerian king list, the nine, here is the 55 years shown here, 2270 to 2215 is 55 years for Sargon. So we're ignoring the 40, we're taking the 55. Then we have 9, 15, and 56 for Naram-Sin, 56, and we have 15 for Manish-Tishu, and 9 years for Ramesh. So the total of all those numbers, right, added on to 2146 is just 2281, which is the number we got the other day. Now that doesn't seem all that impressive, except for one thing. If we now subtract from that the number of years that Syncellus, George Syncellus, he was a Christian historian, or chronologer, minus 1460, the number of years he said was the duration of the Assyrian Empire. This is the first time I've ever done this calculation, was today. And the number 1460 just, I don't think I ever did it before, in this way. And it arrives at 821, which is already the date we have established in our chronology for the end of the Assyrian Empire. It's exactly the same date. And we mention it in the next few paragraphs of our article, too. It's coming up. So let's get this off the, let's close that down. And this is remarkable, where Jackson says 2141. He agrees in, it's Africanus, it's from Africanus, who is a Christian historian also. This is incredible. And we can get in, do other calculations regarding the 28th year of Tira and try all that, too, but we haven't done that. But I mean, there's so much to do. If you get any kind of good lead like that, it's such a great lead. And so they were unanimous that there was somebody called Belus who was living at the time of Abram's father, Terah. And the other document I wanted to show was, maybe I'll show it later, if we have time, regarding the corruption of the scriptures. At the time of the Bar Kokhba revolt. So 2146 is a remarkable thing that we learned here. 2141 is the important year. It's one important year in the chronology, right? The beginning of the Assyrian Empire. But because there was an important event in the fifth year of Abram's dwelling, and then the tenth year. And well, that brings me to the other thing I want to share. See, the difference between the 5 and the 10 is the difference of 5 years, right? This is just insanely good. Like, it's just crazy how important this is. This is the most important discovery, perhaps, that we've ever made in this matter of the chronology of, well, maybe in all history, but in this time period. In all of this time period of Abraham and the Bible, it proves the Bible, it proves everything. This is so phenomenal, because look what it says here in Wikipedia. This is their article. It says that Gudea, his only exploit that he mentioned was in his year 6, and it was called the year when Anshan was smitten with weapons. And Anshan was in Elam. It was a city in Elam, and he was called the king of Elam under his name. In the Bible, Chedorlaomer at Genesis chapter 14, we've identified Gudea with Chedorlaomer, and Chedorlaomer conquered Elam. So in the book of Jubilees, it mentions that specifically. It doesn't mention the conquering of Elam in the Bible, but here it says, if you scroll down, Jubilees 13:13. Chedorlaomer went to the land of Edom and reigned over it. Exactly the same thing as what Wikipedia says about Gudea. But it was, note this, year 6 of Gudea. This is why this proof is so important. And I never got the opportunity, or I didn't have enough understanding of it at the time when I wrote the article to explain this, why it's such a definite correspondence that proves all of these things are true. And that is that the difference between the year 6 of the similarity between the 6th year, which would be 5 years after year 1, right? It's so great. It's 5 years difference, and also 5 years difference here between the 10th year and the 5th year of Abram's dwelling, and this major event that happened in the 5th year of Abram's dwelling when Chedorlaomer came on this big expedition. And then 5 years later, he defeated Nimrod. But in a sense, his reign began in 2146 instead of 2141. There's that difference of 5 years. So in his records, he calls it his year 6 when he conquered Elam, which is remarkable. Is it not? It's the same exact 5-year difference between his year 1 and his year 6 and the 5th year of Abram and the 10th year of Abram. The difference, of course, being Abram came to live in Canaan at the age of 55, which really had no connection directly to Gudea, but the difference of the years there shows the connection. You know, as being just about perfect. Well, it's proof, because not only that, but the 5th year of Abram's dwelling was when he was 60 years old, according to the book of Jubilees, because he was 55 when he came to Canaan in the book of Jubilees. So he's 60 years old also. His 5th year is when he was 60 years old. So this is the incredible thing. It's just too amazing. I can't even get to it all. Because he's 60 years old for Abram is 2206 minus 60. Better do it just to make sure that any doubters we'll see it. 2206 minus 60 is 2146. So that's exactly right. That's when Abram's 60, right? Because he's born in 2206. But the thing is, he came to the land when he was 55 years old, the land of Canaan. So this is his fifth year. So it's a perfect correspondence between Abram and Gudea without even trying. And then Gudea actually makes this comment about his sixth year when he conquered Anshan in Elam, which is just important. And there's more, because the date they give in Wikipedia for the year one of Gudea is 2144. It's midway between 2146 and 2141. And that agrees with us also, because it says circa 2144, his year one. The ruler of Lagash, Chedorlaomer, Gudea. We've proven our point so strongly, but it's such a simple proof, because it just fell into place naturally, and I didn't work on this or didn't change any of the numbers. It was brilliant the way it fell out perfectly by itself. That's what I wanted to share today mainly, but that was called the year 14 also. So in the 2146, the Battle of Sidim, and we're the first people to ever date that battle, I believe. Absolute date for that battle, 2146. No one else has done that. But this was also called the 14th year, or 12 year of the 13th year, was it? Well, I said it's numbered as his 14th, but the Bible says it's 13th, doesn't it? If we go to Genesis 14. So I may have made a little slip there, but whatever. But it says, in the 13th year they rebelled. No, in the 14th year he came, yeah. In the 14th year he came, so I did that exactly the same as what the Bible says. Yeah, so in his 14th year. So we would have to go back and add 14 years to that. We get 2160. And I don't know what the significance of 2160 is. It just doesn't mean anything to us. But maybe when we do all the math for all the other information, like the 28th year of Tiara and all these things, maybe it'll make sense, or maybe the other kings who ruled in that dynasty of Akkad, it might align with something. But that's the only number we don't have a use for, is that 14th year. Evidently, he'd served Nimrod for 14 years, up to that point. But then when Chedorlaomer came, he took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, including, as it turned out, Abram's nephew Lot, along with his goods, as he was then dwelling in Sodom. Lot was. But look at this, another thing I want to show you in the proof that there's proof that I think it's in 7 here, is it? Yeah, Tira in the book of Jasher, chapter 7, verse 51, Tira was 70 years old when he begat Abram. That's the only proof we have that the Bible, that our interpretation of the Bible, that it was Abram's birth that occurred when Tira was 70 years old, is correct. We don't have any other proof of that or any other confirmation. And he called him Abram, it says. The son that was born when he was 70. But there's further proof, because in book... it's just incredible. Look at this. 22. Or is it 22? I think it's 22. Chapter 22, verse 33 and 34. Terah died in that year, in the 35th year of the birth of Isaac, son of Abraham. Because by that time, Abram's name had become Abraham, after he turned 100. So when Abraham was 100, he had his son Isaac. So in the 135th year of Abraham, that was when Terah died, right? And the days of Terah were 205 years, so 205 minus 135. 205 minus 135 is 70. So this proves, the Book of Jubilees is perfectly consistent in this respect, with regard to the age of Terah when Abraham was born. And it's wrong on many other points, it appears, because the chronology of, unless you accept the Masoretic text, it's, it's wrong. So, because it says that Noah was still alive and Shem was still alive during the lifetime of Abraham, and all of these things that it says with regard to the overlap of the lives of these patriarchs completely disagree with the Septuagint version. So, you know, you'd have to, they're still very nice, interesting stories to read, but it doesn't have the feel of inspiration when you read it. It doesn't feel like the Bible does when you read the Bible. It doesn't feel like it's telling the truth. You know, it feels like an interesting story. That's what it feels like when you read it. That's another way you can learn whether something's inspired. But you test it, right, for one thing. But you also find there are inconsistencies and errors, too, in the book of Jasher that you can find. One of which was that it says he was 50 years old, when it means 55, when Abram came to Canaan, because of all the other corresponding and related information that shows that he was 55 when he came to Canaan, not 50. So there are something that has an error in it. You know that there's some other problems possibly, and the Bible has no errors like that. We're in the mass, you know. So that's one way of also showing that, or finding out whether something's inspired. Also including Lot was one of the people taken by Chedorlaomer, right? And the legendary Ninus and his confederate Arius, or Arioch, the king of Arabia, have in this way been recorded in the Word. And the book of Jasher agrees in the details of how Chedorlaomer, who we call Ninus, was the servant of Nimrod, who is also called Amraphel in the book of Jasher, before becoming superior in might when he ruled over Elam. Right? So he conquered Elam in his sixth year. Gudea did. And that was the same year when he conquered Nimrod, which is the 10th year of Abram's being there in the land, which is when Abraham was 65, and also in the year, it was the year 2141 when he conquered Elam, because that's when the same year when he conquered Nimrod, and that's exactly the sixth year, counting from 2146. So everything is so perfect. It's just, and I didn't, the stupid thing is I didn't do it. I didn't make it this way. It just is this way. How could that happen by accident? Obviously it's not by accident, because there's many other things that are working, not just that. But now in these particulars, the dates are so well established as to leave no room for doubt about the identity of a king named Gudea, who conquered Anshan in Elam about 2141 BCE. We're starting to think exactly 2141 BCE, but we're still wise to say about. As a distant relative, now, Gudea married into the family to be inheriting power, and was also known for building temples. There are 26 statues known of Gudea, which survive to now, making him a rare, famous, sculpted king of ancient times. Amazing. The sculptures nearly always depict him wearing a crown, a token of power first identified with Nimrod, who had ruled long before Gudea's day, and was copied just prior to this time by Naram-Suen, who wore bull's horns for a crown, and who may also be considered as the Nimrod of Abram's youth. Yeah, he fits in the time period of chronology for Abram's youth, because 2146, if that's the end of those 56 years of Naram-Suen. See, so we're ignoring Shark-Lishari now. Except Shark-Lishari would have ruled from 2146 for then on to 2141 now. So it's a slight difference. But if these are the 56 years of Naram-Suen, then they began in the year 2202, which is when Abram was 4 years old. So he's the king of Abram's youth, the king Nimrod. And Naram-Sun and Nimrod are very similar names too, aren't they? So it fits really well. So it was Gudea whom Abram chased with his 318 men. That's from Genesis 14, isn't it? Right. He mustered 318 slaves. Genesis 14 and 14. Abram did that. And it was from this king, Gudea, that Abram recovered Lot and his goods. Abram conquered with a small force four kings under Ninus, who was identifiable because of a recent conquest of Elam. That's why we could identify him, right? Because he's called Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and Gudea conquered Elam. The identification of Gudea with Ninus will be yet tested, although any burden of proof lies now truly with opposers. The great warrior Gudea, whose god was Ningirsu, is Ninus. Amazing. Quote, though there is only one mention of Anshan, of martial success on the part of Gudea, the many trappings of war which he builds for Ningirsu indicate a violent era. End quote. It was from a Wikipedia article. It's from the article on Gudea, the one that we just were looking at. Maybe it's there still in the article, but at the time I was quoting from the article of that time. Where's Gudea? Here he is. See the article here. Look up the word violent. Is it there? It's not there. Oh. They've removed that word from that quote. I'll have to go back and find the older version of it, I guess. Or try to find an older version that has that quote. I quoted from that article. Gudea married into the ruling family to his wife Ninala. Nina was the name of a large village near Lagash, the Sumerian city, Lagash. Lagash being also one of the oldest cities of the ancient Near East and giving its name to the whole group of large villages within the area. Lagash's temple, Ininu, was dedicated to the god Ningirsu. Ningirsu, Ninurta, the lord of Girsu, another local village being Girsu, was god of Lagash. Associate gods being Bao, and the associates Ninagal, Inanna, and Ninzia, who were deities representing other divisions of the city. Ningirsu Ninurta, the lord of Girsu, was the god of Lagash. Ningirsu? Ninurta, the lord of Girsu, was the god of Lagash. I'm not sure, quite sure what that means, but I'm sure it's correct, having seen what this article has given us so far and so on. I have confidence in it, but it's been, that's the end of our study for today. Now, I'll talk a little bit about what I did today. It took me 3 hours to download and install. The install took 24 more minutes, 3 hours and 24 minutes or so. Well, the download was approximately 3 hours. I'm trying to think of it more or less, but it was more or less than 3 hours. More or less 3 hours. But before I could download it and install it, I had to back up my system to make sure I didn't lose anything. But I've never had a Mac OS install fail. Never. And this was no exception. The only thing about it is it takes time. So it takes a little bit of time. Like in my case, because I have a slow internet, it's a three-hour download, whereas for some people it would be a lot less. So for many people, it would be much less time. But I don't update things very often, partly because of the time, but mainly I think because of the uncertainties, and now the fact that I have this audio issue where my sound isn't working. Maybe it'll work when I reboot, or maybe it won't. But the sound works, I mean, but the sound tab doesn't work in the system settings. Nothing happens when I click on the sound tab, so I have no control over my sound input and output, which is disconcerting, and that's an understatement. In other words, I can only use one set of speakers. That's the current situation just after my install of the operating system, which I just finished prior to this today's study. So we are finished this study here. Let's get that old article. Let's go to Wikipedia Gudea. Here it is. And we'll go back in Tools, View History, right? And we'll look back through time. So previous, oldest. Let's go back to the oldest, see what there are. There's one from 2006, right? Well, let's go not quite so old. Newer 50, maybe. What do we have there? 2008, newer 50 again. We want one around the time of 2011. Okay, let's go older 50. Let's go about 2000. Oh, no, okay. Let's go newer 50 and scroll down to get to there. There's 2011. Click on that one. March 2011. And I'll search for the word violent. Violent. Let's see. Violent era, yeah. So that looks like the one. And what about year 6? There it is. So let's just save this by export as PDF. Drive, where we want to put it? Right here. Gudea Wikipedia .pdf. And there we go. That should be saved now. Let's see if it is. Gudea Wikipedia. Today. Yep. What is the time? What? Yeah, 5:10 p.m. That's the same time. Good. I will edit that and put it as today's. Well, it's not today's. I'll find out when it was by looking at it. Right. We'll just get it right here. March 25th, 2011. We're out of time. Yeah, I'll do that in a moment. And that's it for today's study. It's December 13th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 17:11 hours, Canadian Eastern Time, and I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. Thank you so much for listening and watching on my behalf. This is Sissy, and this is Star saying bye for now. That was the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express, Chapter 9, Paragraph 6.